produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Chapter 34. Did I put on an extra set of eyes here? We have matriculated down. I just love that word, matriculated. We have matriculated down to chapter 34 in Exodus, session 22. Session 21, remember, it ended with the golden calf incident, okay? The golden calf incident. After the Ten Commandments was given, after Moses was on the mount, Aaron was left in charge of the people. The people grew tired of waiting on Moses to come down from the mount. So they decided to do what everybody else was doing around them and build their own God instead of abiding by God's word and having no other gods before him. They decided that they were going to have their own God. Okay. So God told Moses to go back down to the valley to get to the people because they are disobeying him. They had built themselves a god, a golden calf. Okay. And Moses was so upset that he threw down the tablets and broke the tablets that the commandments were written on. And so now we have chapter 34. Oh, and at the end of last session, Moses begged and pleaded with God to forgive the people and not blot them out. Okay, we remember 3,000 was punished. They were killed, okay, for their disobedience. God is a stickler for obeying. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We always say that. Well, that is the God, the honest truth. God wants us to be obedient to his word. Amen. How do we become obedient to his word? We have to learn the word first. Hence, why we have Bible study, okay? So now that brings us to chapter 34, Moses makes new tablets. I always stress to you, if you don't have a study Bible, get you a study Bible because it gives you different headings and study notes to where it can help you to understand, okay? All right, here we go. So chapter 34, Moses makes new tablets. So of course, that gives us our heading very quickly. Verse 1 through 3, the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Why? Because he broke them, right? And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets in which you broke. So God didn't tell him to break those tablets. Moses did that out of anger. So God is saying, the ones which you broke, bring two more, and we're going to write on those. So Moses was to come alone, and no one, man or beast, was allowed on the mount or around the mountain. Where God's presence was holy. This is holy ground. If you step on holy ground without special permission, instantaneous death, okay? Instantaneous. God covered Moses anytime or shielded Moses, either one, either way you want to think of it, every time he was in his presence, okay? So that's why he was allowed in the close proximity of God or God's presence, should we say, okay? So verse 4 through 7, and those of y'all that are coming on for the first time, and when I forgot to say, those that are viewing by YouTube, please subscribe, like, share, hit the notifications button, leave comments, tell me how you like it, okay? Tell everybody about it, okay? So what we do, we paraphrase most of the scriptures, or read them word by word, verse by verse if we need to. Sometimes I'm paraphrasing. Sometimes I'm reading directly word by word, okay? So verse 4-7, you will find Moses went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning carrying those two tablets, like God had instructed him to do, okay? The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, okay? Now, scripture says that the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High God, his proper name, Yahweh, okay? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, comma, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity or sins of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. I hope that you highlighted that in your Bible. I hope that you underlined that in your Bible. That is so very important, okay? This is speaking to God's essence, okay? This is speaking to exactly who God is and what God is about. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering, abounding in goodness, abounding in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiven iniquity or sins and transgressions, okay? But by no means, see, that's the goodness of God. But God is fair, he's just, he's honest. If he rewards the just or the righteous, he has to punish the unjust and the iniquity of sins. So by no means clearing the guilty, you will be punished. Visiting the iniquity or sins of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. God does not play. Please underline that in your Bible. If you want to know who God is and what God is about, he tells you himself right there in his scriptures. Okay? He tells you right there. So underline that around verse 6-7. Okay? Underline that in your Bible. Moving right along. Verse 8-9, you will find Moses bowed his head in worship. After hearing this, spoken from God, what else can you do? He knew what to do. He bowed and he worshiped. Amen. Okay, so Moses said to the Lord, get this now. If I have found grace in your sight, which he knew he had, because God told him, please come among us. Even though we are stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as your inheritance. What is Moses doing? Now, make me proud as a teacher now. Make me proud. If you've been with me for several sessions, you know what he's doing, okay? He is, for one, restating what he said or what he begged of God in the last chapter, okay? God already said he honored his prayer and his request because he begged God, and what he did was spoke God's word right back to him. God is no short of his words, so he will not fail in his word, okay? His word will not return void, the scripture says. So use this as an example, my brother, my sister. You want something from God? Speak God's promises. Speak God's word back to him. Stand on the word of God. Okay, I didn't even have in my notes to say this, but let me just include this, okay? All it is, speak it and name it and claim it that you hear. Let me clarify that, okay? Speak to God or claim God's word. If it's God's will for your life, it will come to pass. You can speak all the things you want to speak. If it is not God's will, if it is not his word, if it is not his promises, if it is not his will for your life, then it will not come to pass. That just blessed somebody. Thank you, the Holy Spirit, because that's not in my notes to tell you on today. Somebody needed to hear that. Moving right along. Moses spoke God's promises and his word back to him. So God had no choice but to honor that. Okay? So he says, if I found grace in your sight, which he knew he had, please come among us. He told him he would not leave him and his presence would be with his people. He said, even though we're stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquities and our sins. He already told him he would. Take us as your inheritance. That's the Abrahamic covenant. That is the Mosaic covenant that he is speaking back to him. God could not do anything but say yes and honor what Moses was saying. Perfect example of how you speak to God. Perfect example of how you pray to God. See, I'm getting excited already, and this is just the first chapter. Okay? All right, moving right along. Hopefully you caught that. Hopefully you caught that when you read that and you connected the dots, like I always say, and you remembered the covenant that I've been trying to beat in your head for 20 sessions now, okay? The Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. I will bring that back to your remembrance a little later. So I'll try to remember that. Okay, now, something else I don't know if you saw in scripture, but let me bring it to your attention. Moses knew better not to include in his prayer or in his request anything based upon the people improving their actions or them acting better. Did you catch that? When he was speaking to God, he never said, Most High or the Lord or Yahweh, I promise you the people will act better, so bless them. Dwell among us. Don't do away with these people because I promise you they will act better. I will talk to them. Moses never said that. Reread verses 8, 9, and 10. He never said that, okay? Because he knew the people. So everything would be based on the grace of God, his grace, and his faithfulness to honor his own word. Amen. Somebody better be shouting in their own living room right now, okay? So Moses knew to base it on not what the people would do and their behavior, because he knew they would fail again. But we got to base this on the promises of God, on his faithfulness to obey his own word, and God's grace and his mercy. Amen. Moses knew better. So now you got, I mean, look how far Moses have come. First, when we first hear of Moses, Moses is like, oh, I'm slow to speak, Lord. You know, I can't represent you and his people. Now he's speaking boldly for the people, knowing exactly how to talk to God. Amen? Amen. Moving right along. Now look at around verse 10. You see your heading, the covenant renewed. The covenant renewed. And that whole set of scriptures we can group together by, it says, behold, I will make a covenant. Now he's just restating. This is not a new covenant. He's just restating. He's saying, I will do awesome marvels with you for all to see. With you is my people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, okay? I will drive out all the inhabitants of the promised land. Promised land. When they go to the promised land, there's already Canaanites, Hivites, all these Ites are already over there. So he's saying, I will drive them out. He's already told them that, but he's just restating it. He's saying, do not make any covenants with the inhabitants of any other nations, and you shall destroy all of their altars, their pillars, and their images. Okay? So that's the covenant renewed. Now, look at around verse 14. It says, for you shall worship no other God. Underline that in your Bible. For the Lord, Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Let me tell you something. All of these practices and religious ceremonies and practices that we're doing, even in this day and time, we need to stop, okay? Anything that worships other gods or pagan worshiping or anything like that, we need to stop, okay? So God says he is a jealous. We just had Halloween here recently. That is one of the most satanic holidays ever. We should not participate in that by any shape, form, or fashion, okay? So, and I always tell y'all, I don't put my personal opinions in it. We just go by scripture. This is not my personal opinion. Verse 14 says, I am a jealous God. Do not worship other gods. Okay? Not my personal opinion. This is what the scripture says that Yahweh says himself. Okay? Amen. So if you look at the grouping, verse 17 through 18, it restates the covenant that was already spoken. That's a large group of scriptures, okay? We don't have to read and go over every one. We've already learned the covenant. So it restates the covenant that was already spoken. And remember, you've already read this for yourself. Even so, this should be the second or third time you reading the covenant, okay? Moses was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights writing the words of the covenant. Okay. He fasted from water and from food. So what does that tell you? Okay. God sustained him physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually for 40 days and 40 nights without water and food. That's what you should have got from that. Then he wrote the 10 commandments in stone. He, meaning God, wrote the 10 commandments in stone by the finger of God. Amen. Amen. So verse 29, you see in your study Bible, it says the shining face of Moses, the shining face of Moses. That group from 29 all the way through 35. It just simply, your notes for that is Moses came down from the mountain and he was not aware or did not know that his skin was shining bright. Okay. Of course, there were no mirrors up there, so he could not see that his face was shining, okay? But no one, nobody can go or enter into the presence of God and remain the same. Amen, somebody. So when the people saw this, they were afraid. So can you imagine you're shining bright like a light and you go before your family, you come out of your prayer closet, somebody. You come out of your prayer closet, go before your wife and children or husband and children, and you're shining bright. And everybody's looking at you and you not knowing that you're shining like this. This is what happened. So they were afraid, of course. So Moses, after he was made aware of what was going on, Moses covered his face with a veil. So he covered his face with a veil when he spoke to the people and uncovered it when he went before the Lord. Amen. So that concludes chapter 34. Chapter 34. Hopefully I explained it slowly and thoroughly. I would try to slow down and explain it thoroughly, okay? But I just get excited in my teaching, so forgive me for that. So let's move on to chapter 35. Okay, chapter 35. It in your title, you will see Sabbath regulations. Sabbath regulations. It starts with Moses gathered the people and stated to them everything that the Lord had spoken. He said, we know the Sabbath was established way back when of creation, in creation, okay? God worked for the 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, okay? So he worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. God says, honor the Sabbath and make it holy. Honor the Sabbath and make it holy. If you don't honor the Sabbath, you die. You die. So remember that. If you don't honor the Sabbath, God says you die. So verse, come on in. Verse 4 through 9, you will see offerings for the tabernacle. Offerings for the tabernacle, okay? Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever has a what heart? A willing heart. God doesn't want any offering from anyone does not giving willingly, not grudgingly nor necessity, but God loves a what? Cheerful giver. We say that in our scriptures now, okay? So he wants a cheerful giver, a willing offering, a willing heart to give from your heart. If you have to give it grudgingly or think that you have to give it, you're trying to buy a blessing, keep your offering in your pocket, amen? I'm being honest with you, keep it in your pocket. That's what scripture says, okay? Now, this was materials needed for the building of the tabernacle and the priest's clothing. Now, we went over this last time, so briefly, the offering that he's asking, oh my God, it's the offering that he had already given to them. When did he give it to them? During the Exodus, right before the Exodus, the night before, he told them to go to the Egyptians and take from them gold, silver, bronze, clothing, linen, materials, okay, fabric, all of these things, cattle, everything. So he blessed them with it before the Exodus. They went through the Exodus. Now he's telling them, give an offering of what you already have. What did they give it from? The blessing that he gave them before. So when God asks us for an offering now, what is he asking an offering of? The 100% that he blessed you with already? Amen, somebody. So don't feel bad about giving an offering or a tithe first and an offering above and beyond, because he's already given you 100%. So he's saying, give an offering of what I have already given you. And no, I'm not a pastor. I do not have a church. So I'm not trying to beg you for money. I'm telling you what the scripture says. Amen, somebody. Nowhere on this Bible study or nowhere on the YouTube channel does it ask you for money. Okay, so I'm telling you what scripture says. Amen, somebody. I'm neutral. I'm just giving you scripture. So verse 10 through 19, and yes. You shouldn't worry about giving your tithe and your offering, because you should have already tested the ground to make sure that you're tithing into good ground. If you're not tithing, if you don't feel that the ground is good, relocate and be a part of good ground, to where you're getting fed spiritually, you're being fed the word, and you feel comfortable tithing into good ground. Amen. Let's clear that up. Now, verse 10 through 19, your Bible says, articles of the tabernacle. Articles of the tabernacle. All who are gifted artisans or craftsmen among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. But remember, God had previously blessed them with knowledge and skills to do the craft. He had already handpicked the artisans, remember, blessed them with knowledge and wisdom, so that when the tabernacle began to start the build process, should I say, they already had the knowledge to do so. So now he's just gathering the materials that are needed from the people, okay? All the materials came from the offerings of the people. So, and remember, just as a side note, they were previously slaves building for Pharaoh against their will. So now what are they doing? They are willingly giving the offering for the building and building, participating in building for the Lord, and giving this offering to support the bill, and they're doing it willingly. Amen? I don't know if y'all thought about that, but I'm just put that in the notes. So let's move. Verse 20 through 29, that set of scriptures speaks of the tabernacle's offerings presented. So we said where they came from, that they gave, and now they're just being presented. Everyone came whose heart was stirred. So we can deduct that if their heart wasn't stirred, they did not give, okay? So everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its services, and for the holy garments of the priest. They gave gold, silver, bronze, oil, linen, thread, wood, materials, okay, fabrics. They gave all these things. So the children of the Lord brought a free will offering to the Lord. We still talk about it in our churches now, free will offerings, okay? So this is where it speaks of. So verse 30 through 35, come on in. Verse 30 through 35, the artisans called by God. We spoke of this before. The Lord called Bezalel, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and all manner of workmanship of gold, silver, bronze, cutting jewels, and carving wood. And this adds something that he didn't say last time, and the ability to teach. So he gave him all the skills necessary and gave him the ability to teach so he could replicate what he knows to other people so that they could build the tabernacle. Amen? Amen. So God called Aholiab, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, if not, forgive me, and gave him the skill to do all manner of work as well of an engraver and the designer of the tapestry and a tapestry maker, the linen and the fabrics, okay? So now God had the leadership that he needed and blessed them with it. Now here's a side note. They had the heart and the skill to complete the work for the Lord. Their heart was open for service, so then and only then God blessed them with the skill. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Their heart was open for service, so then and only then God blessed them with the skill. So yes, you know what I'm about to say. If your heart is open for service for God, he will equip you and bless you and call you to do the work that he has called you to do. You just have to have a heart for service and the willingness to serve God. Amen, somebody? Amen. So guess what? That ends that chapter. Chapter 30. Now we're moving to chapter 36. See, I'm not moving fast. I'm just giving you all the information that you need and trying to get through these chapters in the most simplistic way possible so that you can clearly understand what God is doing in these chapters, okay? All right. And a lot of this information we're just restating, so we are able to move a little bit quicker than we normally do, okay? Not that I'm moving fast. We're just restating some things we already know. Okay, chapter 36, the people gave more than enough. Oh, okay, let me turn the page. The people gave more than enough. So not only did they give a free will offering, it says they gave more than enough. So let's see what the Bible is talking about. Moses gave the artisans the materials collected from the free will offering. The people continue to bring a free will offering every morning. And we complain about once a week. Every morning, okay? You see in verse 5, the people brought much more than was needed to complete the work. Much more than was needed to complete the work. So the people were restrained from bringing the offering, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Bible says, indeed, it was too much. What if all the pastors of our churches were able to say that we have sufficiency for all the work to be done? So all the homeless people we want to clothe, all the hungry people we want to bless with food, all the single mothers or all the infant children or everyone that need financial blessings or anything from start to finish, we have more than enough to bless everybody that needs blessing in our general vicinity of our church, of our reach in our community. What if every pastor was able to say that? Amen. I'll let that marinate in your spirit. Okay, verse 8 through 38, you will see the building of the tabernacle. Now, that's a lot of scriptures now. That's 30 verses, okay? But it's the building of the tabernacle. We don't need to go through every single verse. Why? Because it is restating everything that we have already went over in the previous session. But what you need to remember about this is that the building process began around verse 8, but it had to be to the exact specifications of the Lord's instructions. Amen? This emphasizes the people's commitment to making everything that the Lord had commanded and exactly how he told them or commanded them to make it. Okay? And that ends chapter 36. And all of these verses, all it does is restates everything that was already stated. Like if you look at it says clearly, it speaks of the gold, it speaks of the bronze, the silver, it speaks of the layers over the tabernacle, over the tent, it speaks of the curtains, it speaks everything that we've already read and went over, it just restates. So that's why we're able to cover a little bit more ground this session, because that's 30 verses right there that we've already covered, okay? We've already covered. So all they're doing is taking what God has said and they're putting that into action, okay? So they're building the tent and they're building all the furnishings, okay? All right. So chapter 37 opens with the making the art of the testimony, okay? 37, making of the ark of the testimony. Now, you will see in chapter 37, your bold heading says the ark of the testimony. It says the table of showbread. We've already explained those in detail, right? Okay, making the gold lampstand and the altar of incense. And it closes with the anointing oil and the incense. Now, we went through that one by one and explained in detail in the last session. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on 37, okay? It first says the Ark of the Testimony. You remember it says acacia wood and it was overlaid with gold. Remember the inside, we know the furnishings were gold. The outside, the furnishing were bronze. Okay, bronze and silver on the outside. Okay, everything had to be gold on the inside. Remember, all I would say is that the Ark of the Testimony, okay, it says, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. You shall make two cherubims or angels of gold on the seat facing each other. And that's where the presence of God would rest and talk to the people. Now, the Ark is very, very important. So I will restate this. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and there I will meet with you and will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are the ark of the testimony, I will give you the commandments. Now, remember, inside the ark, they're going to be commanded. There will be three things inside of the ark, okay? It will be the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It will be, you will see later, it will be the rod, Aaron's rod, because he's the high priest. Aaron's rod will be placed in there. And there's the vase or vessel of the manna that when God was providing manna for them during their journeys and providing for them every day as a remembrance or a reminder of how he provided for them. So in the ark were these very, very important or special artifacts is within that, the Ark of the Testimony, okay? So remember that. That's the Ark of the Testimony. It was located in the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go in there but the high priest that was behind the veil, and he could only go in there one day a year, which was the Day of Atonement, okay? So remember that, Okay, now that's very important, so I had to talk about that in this session, okay? But then, remember the table of showbread, all that we would say, it was made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold as well. It had the plates and pitchers of gold on it, the table of showbread, the bread, okay, that was replaced daily, okay, for the priest. Okay, it was 12 loaves of bread made of fine flour, replaced every week, and it was a reminder of God's covenant provision. Okay, remember, Christ is the bread of life, so that's just an example of Christ to come. The gold lampstand, the light that was illuminated from the lampstand, of course it was gold, but God guided them through the wilderness, and Christ is the light of the world. That's the example that it was given. But it provided light for the priest in a completely dark room inside of the tent, okay? Altar of incense, we've talked about before. Incense, okay? It was made of acacia wood covered in gold. It stood in the middle of the holy place. It stood right outside the veil. You got the holy place first, and then the Holy of Holies. It was broken up into two parts, remember? We're just restating what we already know. And it counteracted the odors from the sacrifices that was outside, okay? So the terrible odors would not enter into the ark, okay? Enter into the tent or the tabernacle, okay? And the anointing oil and incense, remember we said that it was made, the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices, very expensive spices according to the work of the perfumer. We talked about that already. The incense and the anointing oil was very, very special, okay? And everything that went in it was very valuable and very special. So that's chapter 37, just restating what we already know, okay? So chapter 38, look at your study Bible. Chapter 38 speaks of the burnt offering, the altar of the burnt offering, the making of the bronze laver, the court of the tabernacle, and the materials of the tabernacle. That's all of chapter 38, which we have covered in detail already, okay? So let's just restate a few things and we're gonna move right along. The bronze altar or the altar of burnt offerings, that's the same thing, okay? The altar was used for burnt sacrifices. The Israelites laid an animal on the altar, bind the animal on the horns of the altar, laid their hands on it, and the priest sacrificed it, and the priest captured the blood in the vases at the bottom, okay? That's the burnt offering. Then the whole animal, after sacrifice, was consumed with fire, okay? Burnt offering, okay? The bronze laver. Between the bronze altar, okay, and the tabernacle stood a large, shallow basin of water. Why? Because they had to cleanse themselves. The priests had to bathe their hands and feet in it before offering sacrifices and before entering into the tabernacle. So this is how they washed themselves, okay? It was to be used not by everybody, but just by Aaron and his sons. It symbolizes sanctification or becoming holy and pure, okay? That's what it symbolizes. Laver or lavatory, where we get that from, sink or washing hands, that's where we get that from. Laver, okay? The bronze laver. So now it says the court of the tabernacle. The court of the tabernacle. Now, we've went over this already. We talked about it was 75 feet by 100 feet. The fence was composed of 20 bronze posts on the longer side, on the 100 feet side. And the posts had fine twisted linen, 7.5 feet high, by means of silver hooks. The shorter side, the west side of the fence, had 10 bronze posts. And you see how specific this is? God wanted everything to his specifications. The eastern side had 4 middle posts, held a screen-like gate of special embroidery. Okay, and when they entered into that gate, into the courts, you know, they worshiped and they praised. You remember that scripture? enter the gates with thanksgiving and enter the courts with praise. Does that make sense now? Okay, when they entered that gate, praise and worship, and they entered into the courts with praise and worship. Okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just thought about that. So every Israelite could see the cloud of God's presence over the tabernacle or dwelling place. Tabernacle means dwelling place, okay? Now, just to give you some notes, the material for the tabernacle, which you see, it's verse 21 all the way through verse 30. And we can, all those verses, we can group by just saying, in the materials, you had gold, which was 29 talents and 730 shekels. Silver was 100 talents, 1,775 shekels. Bronze was 70 talents, 2,400 shekels. Well, what is that, Reb? Well, talents is about 75 pounds, okay? So if you just look, so it's quick math, if you just look at the silver, 100 talents, that's times 75, okay? That's how much silver they had, okay? So this is how much materials it took to build the tabernacle and build all of the furnishings that God wanted in there. Okay, and he had them take an inventory. You see in scripture, it talks about they had to take an inventory. Well, the inventory showed order. What do we say now, and what did God say later? His house is a house of decency and house of order. He wants decency and order in his house, in his tabernacle, in his churches. God is a God of decency. God is a God of order, okay? He don't want all this foolishness in, I can't start that. So it showed order by them taking, you will see in scriptures, they took an inventory of everything they had and everything that they used, okay? Everything. And that's how we are to do our churches today. Okay, so our meeting place, our dwelling place. So guess what? Now that's chapter 39, chapter 39. And I'm not rushing. So it's just now 7:47. We're doing great on our time. We don't have to speed up. We don't have to rush. But we've already taught this already. So that's why I'm able to just mention things. Okay, and you would look at your Bible at chapter 39. It says the makings, the garment, making of the garments of the priesthood. We talk about, it talks about the ephod, talks about the breastplate, talks about the other priestly garments, and it talks about the work being completed. Now, we've spoke of all of those things extensively already. So let's just mention a few things. Okay, it starts off with the ephod. Now, remember, the ephod, this is what the priest was wearing. Even their garments, because only the priest could go into the tent or the tabernacle, okay? Only the priest, and on which was Aaron's sons, only the high priest could go beyond the veil, which was the Holy of Holies, okay? Only Aaron could go in the Holy of Holies. Only Aaron could go beyond the veil and make atonement for our sins. What is that an example of? Only Christ Jesus could go beyond the veil and make atonement by his sacrifice on Calvary for our sins. This is all this is doing, guys, is giving you an example or getting your mind ready or setting the tone for the Savior, the Messiah to come. Okay? Getting God's chosen people ready for the Messiah to come. Amen? So the ephod is a vest or vest-like garment worn by the priest with multicolors. It had two onyx stones with six names on each stones, which was Israel's 12 sons, six on both sides in their birth order as a memorial, okay? So it was stones on each shoulder. Then we spoke of the breastplates. It had four rows of threes, which was 12 precious stones or jewels. Each one contained the name of the 12 tribes. You had the names of the 12 tribes on the breastplate. On the stones on top of the onyx stones of the ephod was the 12 names of the sons of Israel. Okay? Now, that's the difference. Sons on the top, on the breastplate, tribes. Let me say that right. Tribes, 12 tribes. Amen? Okay. It was worn over Aaron's heart when he goes before the Lord. Okay? And inside of it was the Urim and Thummim, which was the instruments, go back to the last session, used to, when he asked God's question or received commands from God or instruction from God, that was the yay or nay or yes or no instruments. Okay? So it then talks about the roll, which was all blue, opening at the top of the head, top for the head to go through. It had golden bells and pomegranates around the hem to give off a sound. Theologians say that it was even a rope tied to the priest, because when if his sons did not hear those bells, then they knew that the priest went into God's presence unholy, and he was died or he was killed instantaneously. So the bells made it so that Aaron's sons or the other priests could hear him or hear that he was still alive. Okay? Then you have the turban, the headpiece with God's plate or gold plate, excuse me, on the front that was engraved holiness to the Lord, which signified ownership to the Lord or belonging to the Lord. Okay? So the plates must be on the front of the turban, on Aaron's forehead, as to bear the iniquity of the children of Israel. Remember, this was all about forgiveness of sins. Why? Because this was all about sacrificing. Without blood, the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. Christ Jesus came on Calvary, gave himself on Calvary, gave up the ghost, shed the blood for the atonement or sacrifice for our sins. Okay? So then you have the tunic, which is the white linen coat woven one piece. It was close fitting. That was the closest to his body. Then you have the sash. When we talk about girdle itself or the sash, that's what we're talking about. Okay. It was the sash was wrapped around his waist and wrapped around the ephod. Okay. So then you have, we're down now to the end of the chapter. At verse 32, you see it says, the work completed, the work completed. Thus, all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. So now all the work is finished. The children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work and indeed what they had done, as the Lord has commanded, just so they had done it. And what did the scripture said Moses did then? Moses blessed them. Moses blessed them. He went from being angry at them to throwing down the tablets in his anger and frustration to now he's happy over what they have done. And he now speaks blessings over them, speaking prayers and blessings over them. Over them, but unto God. Okay? Over them, but unto God. So here we go. That brings us to what? Chapter 40, the last chapter in the book of Exodus. Didn't even have to rush to get here, okay? On the first day of the month, we're talking about the tabernacle erected and arranged. So all the work was completed. So now they have to imagine this. You ever saw one of those church tents to where they spread out the covering and then they put the post underneath it and raise it up or erect it? That's what they're doing, okay? So they're erecting the tabernacle and arranging it exactly how God wanted it and putting the furnishings in and putting everything in the courtyard outside. They're doing and they're building the walls on the outside. This is what they're doing. So on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. First day, first month of the year. So that's New Year's Eve. You can say it like that. New Year's Day. okay? You shall put all the materials and furnishings into the tent. Think about this. That's New Year's. Think about it like that, or first day of the year of the second year. They've been gone a year, okay? They've been gone a year from Egypt. Think about that, okay? So if you, around verse 12, it says, then you shall dress Aaron and his sons and anoint them with the anointing oil, remember? Anoint them as my priests. They will have an everlasting priesthood, remember that, throughout their generations. Aaron, remember, was the tribe of who? Levi. So when you see the Levitical priest, Levi, Levitical priest, this is where it started, okay? Levitical priest, Levi, high priest, Aaron, remember that, connect the dots, put that together, okay? Verse 17, on the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So they left Egypt in the middle of the first month of the year. Remember? If you don't, go back and read that. So this would be 2 weeks before the 1 year anniversary of the Exodus. Okay? Those of you guys that are stickler for dates and times. Okay? So look at verse 34. It says, the cloud of the glory. The cloud and the glory. I said that wrong in my notes. The cloud and the glory. The cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay? So after everything was erected, the cloud covered the tent. Okay? The Lord was revealing himself to his chosen people. Now he wasn't up on top of the mount. Now he was hovering. The cloud covered the tent. Okay? The cloud was over the tent by day, the scripture says, and fire was over it by night. Now remember, I keep forgetting to state this, remember now, this tabernacle was mobile. It was mobile. As the people traveled, they were to take down the tent and erect the tent as they traveled, okay? This was mobile, okay? Now, so they never moved when the cloud was over the tent. So when the cloud was over it, they rested. God's presence was over it. When the fire was over it by night, okay? So if the cloud raised up from it, then they knew it was time to move, okay? So God will dwell among his covenant people on their way to the land that he had promised them, okay? He would dwell among his covenant people on their way to the land that he had promised them, the promised land. Amen? Now, that whole chapter is summarized in those few notes, okay? And that concludes chapter 40, which also concludes the book of Exodus, okay? And I have about 4 minutes, so remember this. Remember, what God is doing is fulfilling his word, his promises, his plan. As I always tell you, remember, okay, when Moses went to God and spoke his word back to him, remember, first think of the Mosaic covenant. And I'm going backwards, okay? The Mosaic covenant undergirds or supports the Abrahamic covenant, okay? The Mosaic covenant, and just in summary, just in short, that Israel would be God's special possession, okay? Israel would be a kingdom of priests to God. Israel would be a holy nation, and God will fight for Israel and overcome all her enemies. And God will treat Israel with grace and mercy and forgive her sins. Those are the 5 points of the Mosaic covenant that I've already talked to you in the previous session. Now, is that not what Moses said back to God? He was just restating the Mosaic covenant, which is the covenant is a divine promise or agreement between man and God? And Moses was just restating back to God what he had already promised him. God could not break his covenant. So that's what Moses said back to him. Now that supports or undergirds the Abrahamic covenant, which is to make Abraham a great nation and to bless Abraham and to make his name great so that he will be a blessing, to bless those who bless him and to curse those who curse him. Okay? And that's the descendants as well, to give Abraham descendants all the land from the river of Egypt to Euphrates, later known as the what? The promised land, or the land of Israel. Thirdly, to make Abraham the father of many nations and his descendants, and to give them the whole land of Canaan, or the promised land. Okay? So think about that. Everything that God is doing, he has stated in the Abrahamic covenant and in the Mosaic covenant, okay? Which connect that with what I told you before. God's plan is to form a great nation, which he stated, and the great nation is Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob name changed to Israel, the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, his 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes, okay? He had to form his people, his land, people, law, and land to form a nation, or to form his great nation. To have a nation, you need those three things, okay? Those three things. So his people, when they came out of Egypt, was 2.5 million. So when he saved them from Egypt, he had his people. He has given them the laws. Now the laws are given. The third element is the land. When they enter into the promised land, they will officially be his chosen people, his chosen nation, should I say, his nation unto himself, okay? So why do he need the nation? Let's connect the dots. I'm trying to make everything make sense to you since we finished with Exodus. Why does he need a chosen nation? Because all the other nations in the world are pagan and worshiping the devil, worshiping Satan, okay? They're pagan worshipers, okay? You remember seeing that. Now, he needed one nation that Christ Jesus, the Messiah, would come from, that line of Judah, okay? Christ Jesus himself comes from that tribe, the tribe of Judah, okay? So why is he forming his nation? Because they had to be holy unto himself, because the Messiah would come from that line. Everybody else was pagan and evil. He saw that with the great flood. He wiped all of the nations out and saved one descendant for himself. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? Why? Because, connect the dots, and why the tabernacle, and why he wants to dwell, go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and when Satan convinced them to sin against God, sin entered into the world, he wanted to dwell, his people dwell with him in the garden, but he could not, a holy God could not dwell with sinful people, so they had to be exiled or ostracized away from God. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. So then God's plan and his purpose was to bring a holy sacrifice unto him. So to bring the holy sacrifice, one man sin, theoretically, we know, but one man sin, the sin of man had to be erased by the sin of, by the holiness of man, okay? The sin of man had to be erased by the holiness of man. So he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to this earth to take the penalty of our sins. But he had to come through a holy nation, which is why he formed this nation unto himself so that Jesus could come through that line. Amen? You got it? Now, that's about as simple as I can explain it, okay? So that concludes this session. That concludes session 22, which concludes the book of Exodus. We will move on. Amen, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.